From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
First this morning, we speak with New York Times bestselling author Denise Kiernan, who will bring us this morning a biography of an idea, gratitude, as a compelling human instinct and a global concept. It's more than just a mere holiday of Thanksgiving. From ancient Rome through 21st century America, Kiernan's book, We Gather Together, is anchored amid the strife of the Civil War. It's driven by this fascinating story of someone I'd never heard of before, Sarah Josepha Hale. She was a widowed mother with no formal schooling who became one of the 19th century's most influential tastemakers and who campaigned for decades to make real an annual day of thanks. We taped this interview yesterday morning in the wee hours. We hope you enjoy. Denise Kiernan, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We Gather Together. What a perfect title for this book and for the interview a week before Thanksgiving. But I understand that the title wasn't necessarily a reflection of anything going on this year, 2020, with the pandemic and gathering versus not gathering. Where was the genesis of this title?
You know, it's so funny because whenever you do these books, you start out with, you know, you start out with an idea and then you refine the idea and then you pitch the idea and then you refine the pitch and then, you know, you get to go ahead and then you write the book and then you revise the book. So, I mean, books are, there's such a long process even after, you know, you've sort of finished the first, finished the first draft and started editing with your editor. So this title I've had since 2018, 2019, it was always the title I had in mind for this book. It really was just for me about coming together when it feels challenging to do so. And, you know, that's all it was supposed to be. And then, so when we're editing the book and revising it, I'm going through it with my editor, and I said, this book feels completely different now because of everything that's happened in 2020. The one thing I got, I said, please just let me, I've got to update the epilogue. This is, you know, I've got to say something. And it was interesting to me to be, you know, finishing up, you know, editing and production on a book titled We Gather Together when the phrase social distancing was trending. And, but you know, as a writer, when you write a book, you're never really sure what world it's going to land in, actually.
Right. Well, the tagline is interesting as well. A nation divided, a president in turmoil, and a historic campaign to embrace gratitude and grace. And yet the book sort of kicks off amid the Civil War, and you focus on, it's almost like your protagonist is Sarah Josepha Hale, if that's how
Josepha,
you
say. Yeah, I mean, it's, I've never heard her pronounce it, but that's, I actually did the audiobook, and we went through with I feel pretty good about Josepha. We feel pretty good about Josepha, yeah.
So who is Sarah Josepha Hale?
So a good chunk, like the middle third of the book takes place during the Civil War. And again, the idea of coming together when it was so difficult to do so. And Sarah Josepha Hale was a widowed mother of five who, with no formal schooling, who was obsessed with books and the written word and ended up becoming a very influential editor at one of the, if not the top, one of the top ladies magazines of the 19th century. And in that role, she, you know, really became sort of, she was like one of the original influencers. You know, we talk about influencers today. I mean, she was a real tastemaker, you know, advising readers, not just what to wear, but, you know, how to organize your kitchen and what to read. And, you know, she was one of the earliest editors, of some very influential writers before they became you know, really well known. And in fact, one of my favorite stories from the book is she writes in the magazine puts out a review of this young writer's work. And there's like, though he's, you know, he's a boyish and, you know, he needs to come along, et cetera, something along those lines. He's still showing evidence of genius. And, you know, turns out this young writer went to West Point with one of Sarah Josepha Hale's sons. And her son writes from West Point and said, I showed your magazine and what you said about his work to my friend Edgar Allan Poe. And so, I mean, this is a woman who, and she had an editor-writer relationship with Poe up through the end of his life. The first printing of The Cask of Amontillado was in her magazine. And she was, just, you know, so she really had her finger on the pulse of the written word and used her role to not just, she was a writer as well. She curated and promoted other people's work and the work of other women. And so in that way, she really had an impact on a lot of people's lives.
And it's amazing that she could be in herself as a professional, as an influencer. There's enough to write as a biography about her. And then there's this whole story about gratitude and Thanksgiving. I mean, where did this passion project come from for her? And why is she most remembered for this now?
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's interesting you bring up the biography aspect because I've known about her for a while. And her role in promoting the idea of a National Day of Giving Thanks. But I don't really write biographies. So I knew I did not want to do a biography of her. I'm more sort of interested in the juxtaposition or intersection of events as opposed to any particular event or person. And so to me, the idea of the intersection between Sarah Josepha Hale and Abraham Lincoln and how that helped establish a National Day of Thanks here, that was interesting. That you know, attempt to unify came in the middle of the Civil War. That to me was an interesting juxtaposition, but it still wasn't enough. I didn't want the whole book to just be about the Civil War. So, you know, I keep all sorts of ideas and that one was just on the back burner. And then, you know, I do a lot of reading about, you know, gratitude, and there's so much research in the last, you know, decade or so about the physical, emotional, and mental benefits that they are studying on a neurological level. Those benefits are evident for humans if you have a gratitude practice. So then I thought that's the missing piece. Like that's the linchpin that will bring this story together for me as a writer, because you stick with these things are in your life for so long, you've really got to find something that kind of drives you forward and keeps you into it. So I thought using gratitude and traditions surrounding giving thanks as kind of a lens through which to look at American culture, that was really interesting to me. And then she, of course, Hale becomes, you know, a central figure in that, in the heart of the book. So that's how that kind of came together for me.
And that's, I think that's evident in some of your writing, you know, this balancing of research and story and people and, you know, the themes of gratitude and dissent and separation and conflict. Mm-hmm. What was her passion? Why was she, I mean, she could have kept going with development of Edgar Allan Poe, or
sure. You know,
why this day of thanks for her?
You know, she was the daughter of a Revolutionary War veteran, and he was injured during the Revolutionary War. And, you know, she was born, you know, before Washington's inauguration. So she had actually, her father had fought had fought for the colonies to establish the United States of America. She had grown up and known every president that had ever existed. And she saw the Union starting to fray. And I think that and in a lot of the letters that she would write, not just to presidents and governors and other, leaders, but also just in her magazine and in her own writings about Thanksgiving and everyone coming together on the same day to do that. To me, there was a real desire for unification. And growing up in New England, there were various, you know, Thanksgiving traditions and celebrations. And it was clear that that was something that she had a real nostalgia for. She published her first novel in 1827. And in that book is just this really long, decadent description of a Thanksgiving meal. And it's almost an entire chapter. I mean, it's the kind of thing you look at as a writer and you think that would never fly today. Your editor would just say, come on, you know, cut out the last like five, you know, entrees that you describe in all of this detail. But so I think that sort of nostalgia combined with a desire to see folks come together throughout the country, the territories, Americans living abroad. I think those two things kind of combined for this, you know, this passion, this lifelong passion project of hers to see the establishment of a National Day of Thanks.
So when we as young children in elementary school learn about Thanksgiving, we learn about when the Pilgrims came together with the Native Americans and they all shared this wonderful bounty. How far does Sarah Josepha Hale's story diverge from that? And what are we missing out on the real story?
Oh, well, what's interesting, and I'm not, you know, I'm not busting any myths that haven't been busted for years now. But we have to, so I'm not like, you know, I'm coming out to tell you things you don't, people have known for a while that what we learn in elementary school isn't quite, you know, what went on. But I think part of the problem is these stories, they keep coming out every year because we keep telling kids the same thing. And then when they get older, it's not like you revisit, you know, Thanksgiving in AP history or in college or something. It's just, you know, you've moved on to other stuff. So basically what's really interesting to me is when Sarah Hale would write about Thanksgiving, especially in her, you know, in her letters, to Lincoln, it's wonderful. You can see scans of it from the, you know, National Archives. You can see her handwriting, and it's always so special to see those things. She never once mentions Pilgrims, and we are supposed to commemorate a specific event. Like that was never a part of her. We are doing this because on this day, these people did this together. That was not a part of her campaign. It was not mentioned in you know Lincoln's you know proclamation of Thanksgiving either. So you know the Pilgrims landing in Plymouth, yes, absolutely, and having some sort of meal with the Wampanoag who were in the area, yes, that. The relationship between the indigenous peoples and the people coming from Europe, not so great. Didn't work out too well on a lot of levels. But the idea that they were invited to a feast and that feast at that time was called Thanksgiving is just not true. But you know, and the more interesting thing to me is that the concept, even the idea that there would be a first Thanksgiving of any sort is kind of strange because the concept of Thanksgiving has been on this planet for a very long time, and as well as the concept of giving thanks. So it's, you know, but it's hard to give that kind of, you know, layered story to, you know, 7-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other thing. But yeah, that was commemorating a specific event was never a part of what Hale was doing. She just wanted everybody to come together and give thanks on the same day.
Practice gratitude. If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're speaking with Denise Kiernan. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and she's back with a new book called We Gather Together. Practicing gratitude. It's funny when I think about, I always laugh about, you know, you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table and it comes that point,
yeah,
especially teenagers hate,
sure.
Where you go around the table and you say what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering the practice and how much it has evolved
since Sarah Hale's time, and with, you know, her concept of how to really practice gratitude? Was it a year-long thing, or was it just this thing that we came up with on this very special day as we sat around the table?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. There were, it was not unusual for there to be several Thanksgivings in a year, you know, early on. There, and you had Thanksgivings proclaimed for all sorts of different, that there would be a day of Thanksgiving and prayer offered, you know, announced for, you know, the repeal of the Stamp Act was one that I found in John Adams, you know, diary. You know, Thanksgivings for, you know, victories in battle, Thanksgivings because, you know, something good had happened. It was a good harvest, that sort of thing, which of course related to harvest festivals. So there were a lot, there was a pretty strong tradition of, giving thanks every now and then for things that were bestowed upon you that, you know, were needed. In the present day, I hated when that happened at the table. I hated being put on the spot. And one of the interesting things about how gratitude research and things have evolved is that, you know, what gratitude is different for everyone. Something I'm incredibly grateful for, you might not think twice about it. And something that means the world to you might never have crossed my mind. It's so individualized. And it's not the kind of thing, they've done studies where you don't even you can write a thank you letter or a letter of gratitude to a person and never mail it, and it can still have beneficial effects on your mood and your mindset and your health even. So I think that we're in an interesting moment now where, again, this timeless, ageless concept of giving thanks has been merging with science and scientific research. And that to me is really interesting. So, you know, if any teenagers who are at a table and uncomfortable can say, listen, I've looked into this gratitude practice thing. I'm just going to write mine down and keep it to myself, but you guys feel free to go run ahead.
That is hilarious. I love it. Prior to this pandemic, I think everybody would say that it is a timeless thing, and how they were not looking forward to a normal Thanksgiving while the kids are on their phone. And I've thought about this already, you know, why are you bothering me? That the digital revolution has really kind of helped people not be grateful for mm-hmm. things. And so I guess, can you maybe comment on, and I think you've mentioned it in your book, you know, this move from a day of Thanksgiving to immediately to shopping, you know, at 11 p.m. that day, and football during the day, and parades, and, you know, everything to distract us from possibly taking a moment of gratitude. So
it is interesting. Yeah, and how cultures and holidays evolve is incredibly fascinating. You know, so in Hale's day, you know, the day was pretty much about, you know, for a lot of people, it was, you know, the businesses were closed and you spent time with your family. And that weekend, you know, you would eat and you would visit with friends and those sorts of things. And then I think it was like 1 or 2 years before she died, which was, you know, years, she was, you know, she, 1863 was when Lincoln, proclaimed the first sort of national day of thanks that sort of began our uninterrupted string of national Thanksgivings, and she died in 1879. So, you know, and it was just like the year before she died that I think the first Yale football game, you know, had happened on Thanksgiving Day. So that didn't happen immediately either. And then the more, you know, department stores started existing, you know, right? Big department stores. And they began connecting that holiday with the beginning of the shopping season for Christmas. So you can see those things, you know, just start to incremental. And then in the, you know, 1920s, you have the parade start. And, you know, one parade, the Parade at Gimbel's, basically like took Santa right to the Gimbel's toy store. So it was like, come on, let's go. You know, it's time to shop. And looking at the ads and things from the newspapers from that time are really, really interesting. And so, yeah, you see it just grow and grow and grow and grow, that connection between Thanksgiving and the holiday shopping season. But you also see an increase in, especially in the later 19th century, early 20th century, of associating that day with charity, which is nice. And you do see that happening. And, you know, now in 21st century, you know, we have Giving Tuesday, which is, you know, usually the Tuesday, not always, but often the start of the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And, you know, a lot of charities see an uptick in donations and, you know, acts of kindness on the day itself, contributions, things like that. So it's nice to see that has grown and stayed and evolved as well. But yeah, I have to say when they started actually doing those doorbuster, I've never gotten into that. And when they started doing it the day of Thanksgiving, I just felt so bad for people who worked in retail, who, you know, had to leave their families or friends or whoever they were spending the day with to go work. So in a way, I've been trying to think about this year, which is, you know, going to be very different because of the pandemic, as, you know, maybe this will be a good year to really stay home and just reconnect with the sense of gratitude and thankfulness that is, you know, the essence of the day.
Well, I like to confess occasionally on this show, and I will confess that I have done a Black Friday sale 4 years ago, and it was perhaps the worst experience I've ever had. So I was not grateful for being there. And
is that the one and only time you've done it?
The one and only time. There was literally a fight in line. So I will
refuse
that again. But I think you bring up some interesting points that tie, you know, we had a generation, multi-generations of fighting this gratitude and trying to pause during the one day of the year. And this year, 2020, has been multiple days of businesses closing and people pausing and people staying together. And the phrase, we gather together, we stand together, you know, we're in this together, has really kind of been the embodiment of this year. And, you know, people are struggling to even get together. So what would Sarah Hale say, and more importantly, what would you say to our listeners and to your readers in this new phase of our timeline?
I would say there are, in this pared down holiday season, it is going to, I think there will be fewer distractions. And if there is a way to look at, find those things to be grateful for, which is challenging in a time like this, when people are out of work, when people are having difficulty paying their, you know, their rents and their bills, having difficulty being together with the ones they love. It is even more important to find things to come together on and to be grateful for. And actually, going back to the science, they found that the ability and the willingness to find something to be grateful for when it is really difficult, like in the midst of strife, is extremely, it's extremely beneficial and can really help you get through difficult times. And, you know, I usually, Thanksgiving is very big in our house. The whole weekend is. We have a leftover party on Saturday and people drop in and we put the tree up and, you know, there are people in and out of this house 4 days straight, and that's not happening this year, and I'm going to miss that. But on the other hand, because I won't be entertaining all those people, I am actually, I'm making up a little schedule. I have a lot of people I'm going to connect with like this over Zoom, or, you know, FaceTime or Skype or just on the phone. And normally I probably wouldn't be able to kind of carve out that time to do that with everyone. So I'm trying to look at it as a way to really enhance the attention I'm able to give people who matter to me, not just the people who matter who happen to be in my house that day. And, you know, so I'm trying to focus on that and, you know, be grateful that I'll have I'll have food to eat I have a roof over my head, you know, and I have people who care about me and people I care about. And, you know, those are the kinds of things, you know, if you have them in this world, I mean, you've hit the jackpot right now. I mean, that's a lot to be thankful for. So if you have those things, really just, you know, be thankful for them and reach out to people who maybe, you know, are feeling a little lonely or having a tough time, and, you know, spread what you can, do what you can. And I think putting that focus also outside of our own challenges and difficulties right now, those sorts of things, it's just something everybody can come together about that.
The book is We Gather Together. Our guest is Denise Kiernan. And Denise, I want to thank you so much for sort of giving us, well, reminding us what it's all about, and then giving us this little adaptation. I feel grateful for that. We this will be the first Thanksgiving that I haven't celebrated with my children. They actually uninvited us to come to Seattle to have Thanksgiving, which is great. And so it is all, for many of us, it's going to be a very different thing. And we appreciate the new perspective that you've given us. So great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been great being on.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.